remotely ready to do something.
A possibly
take action.
Padded Room Radio is back on the air, baby dolls, on a frigid Tuesday night. I think it's got to be like 12 degrees out there, Jason.
It's a tit-bit nipply.
It is iceberg cold out there, Jason.
Colder than a witch's tit.
That's
in a brass bra.
That too. What's up with you? Jason Harrell's in the house, everybody.
Into his house. What's up, man?
Nothing. We had a...
always living the action-packed dream.
The whole thing, man. The whole thing. I did it all. I got a PlayStation 5 right before the big snowstorm.
Nice.
Timed that perfectly.
Perfectly.
Except now my fucking asshole kids want to play it all the time. And I can't get a chance to play my Gotham Knights.
Got to sell the kids.
What do you think I can get for them?
$125.
That's it?
Yeah, but in Russian, it's a lot more.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, there's like an exchange rate.
Yeah.
The big one's cute. So,
especially with that new fancy dick hat that you showed me.
So my mom 2 days ago decided, picked up the kids, took them out for to paint the town beige, as they say, which usually means going to Shields and then Five Below and then the dollar store and back here. Somewhere, somehow, she found these hats for them that look exactly like penises.
They are quite phallic in nature.
They look exactly like penises. It's almost as if you took a helmet tip and put it on your head. That's it.
I thought I was looking in a mirror there at first.
Because she's so proud of these things, too. Dare you look at these hats. They got to keep their ears warm. You put them on. Mom.
So, not that I'm keeping score here, but for Christmas, she bought them a beer pong
beer
game.
Beer pong.
And now penis.
A Post Malone.
Post Malone beer pong game.
Yes.
And now penis hats.
Cock hats. Yes.
Okay. All right. Grandmother of the Year Award.
I think we need to, like, license her. You know, no more shopping for the kids or with the kids. I don't know, maybe to the grocery store. You know, they don't have Post Malone beer pong at the grocery store.
If only.
Yeah. All right, my man. Well, we got a regular horror show to get into here, Jason.
Please do.
You ready?
I am ready.
You got your penis hat on?
Real quick question for you.
Shoot, yeah.
How is your 2023 going for you with watching only new releases?
Well, that started back in November, and with the exception of this show, pretty good. I found a lot of good movies that I missed from 2022.
So you have watched some previous.
Well, I've had to for this show. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
So there's that.
Outside of this show.
I should just fuck that right off, shouldn't I?
I don't even know. I don't know why you tried.
Because, man, I'm trying to get caught up in the horror movies. You know what I'm saying?
You need to.
I do, and I keep... I got Near Dark on right now.
I support you.
God damn it. Thanks for ruining that.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for, to ruin it.
To ruin things. Spread hate and discontent and horror news.
Horror news.
Hit me, Jason, one more time.
Well, if anybody other than me is a massive loser and did the Indiegogo for In Search of Darkness 3, that has been pushed back. They're going to ship that, I believe, sometime in February. It was supposed to come out this month. But I don't know. I guess there's a postal strike in the UK or something. Royal Mail strike.
Oh, no.
And then just everything's fucked off nowadays.
Yeah, it's true.
Have you watched 1 and 2?
I have not. They're like 3 hours a piece, man.
Dude, this one's like 4.5 hours.
Jesus. Who's got that kind of time on their hands?
Clearly me.
Other than us.
It's very good.
I know.
They're all very good.
The first two are on Shudder right now.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to report back to you next week.
Well, by the time you get those done, part three should be coming your way.
It's going to be out by next week?
I have no idea.
I just said I'm going to have it done by next week, Jason.
I'm sure it's also on a pirate ship somewhere.
I will definitely watch the first two.
This isn't exactly news, but a couple of guys that I follow in the movie review realm have gotten screeners for The Last of Us TV show for HBO.
Okay.
One of them is a massive horror fan. He's a massive gamer, and he really loves The Last of Us.
Okay.
So I've been very concerned. He says this is the best video game adaptation ever to come to the screen.
Okay.
So I'm really excited for it. 5 more days, I think, is the initial episode.
You're a pretty big Last of Us fan. Last of Us is,
and that's really all they had to do was just make a one-to-one movie.
Yeah,
because the story is so perfect.
You mean the thing that they have failed to do for the last 20 years
exactly.
with Resident Evil movies?
They just have to fuck up the storylines. I don't know why.
I don't know why they do that. It pisses me off.
He did say there were a couple of minor deviations, but all in all, the characters are spot on, even though it's got shithead Pascal in there, Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
I have high hopes, especially after seeing the reviews today.
Okay.
So
I'm into it.
That's it.
All right. What do I got here? Trailers are up.
Oh, snap.
For Evil Dead Rise. Jason, I'm not going to tell you what I saw. I'm just going to say that I'm excited.
That's the same thing you call me having an erection.
Okay.
An Evil Dead Rise.
Well, there you go. Yuck. Yuck. You're a little deadite in your pants there. Nasty. They're up. You can find them pretty much anywhere. YouTube, Bloody Disgusting.
How are they looking? You know I don't watch them. So.
I know. So I think a lot of people are going to be pissed off just because it doesn't take place in a cabin. And that's kind of something that's part of the package.
Sure.
But from what I saw in the trailers, I am excited. It looks like it's going to a new place and... I mean, how bad could it possibly be?
Well,
did you ever get into the...
Knowing my opinion of the first two...
Did you ever get into Ash versus Evil Dead?
No.
Okay, well...
No, didn't even try.
From what I saw in the trailers, it didn't look like a lot of comedy was going on.
Good.
But there's...
I'm hoping it's more akin to the 2013.
Yeah, remake. I'm into it. It looks like a sequel has already been greenlit for Megan. Are you familiar with Megan?
Is that the doll movie?
That's the doll movie.
Oh, we may be checking that out this week or next week.
Nice. Let me know.
So,
it looks vaguely Terminator-esque.
Does it?
Yeah. I mean, the doll, it's like some. It's not a doll. It's like some kind of a AI droid thing.
I don't know nothing about it. I just assume it was kind of a... Chucky like
similar,
yeah,
but this one looks like she may have a Gatling gun
okay.
in there or something. I don't know. here's some news. I think you might be excited for this. I don't.
Possibly.
I know you watch this.
You know me in excitement.
Yeah. Well, Evil Dead Rise just popped up there. Francois Arnaud, Nicole Maines, and Nia Sande are all confirmed for Yellowjackets season 2.
Oh, okay.
Now you watch that show.
That was it's a pretty fun series.
Yeah?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Is it about actual bees?
It's the mascot of a school that a bunch of these, like, it was like a girls' volleyball or something. I can't even remember at this point.
Okay.
Girls' something sport.
Right. A female
and,
sport.
And they are the Yellow Jackets.
Okay.
And I think that was the only Yellow Jackets
thing. That
was it?
Yeah. Well, see, I
don't
saw...
remember there being bees, but I... Well, again, it's been a little while since I watched it.
On the thumbnail, it had like a chick's face and like a bee crawling up it. So I thought, oh, it's probably maybe about killer bees or something.
Oh, not in the least. No.
Okay. What is it, Slasher? Give me a snapshot. Let me know if I need to watch the first
There season. Is... I'll give you kind of a brief overview. They were flying to like regionals or nationals or something like that while they were in school, the right. Yellow Jackets team. Plane crash.
Okay.
It turned into a very, at this point, kind of unknown scenario where there was a large pact of secrecy after they managed to get rescued.
Okay.
Like murder, possible tribal, well, a lot of tribalism, and some possible occult type stuff went down that they had stumbled across. But it kind of flashes back and forth between what happened there at the crash site to modern day where they're at in adulthood. And it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to season two.
Nice. I might have to check out season one. Looks like Exorcist 3 is getting the full Scream Factory treatment, 4K steelbook, all that shit.
Yep.
Have you seen Exorcist 3, Jason?
I have.
What do you think?
I enjoy it.
One of the best jump scares I've seen in a long time.
The crawling across the ceiling.
No. When the garden shears, when she shoots across the hall.
Oh, that thing.
Takes the nurse.
Okay, so every time somebody talks about this coming out of nowhere, freak you out scene.
Yeah.
I hear them reference the walking upside down on the ceiling.
I mean,
that didn't do nothing
fine.
For me.
It didn't do much for me.
I was really, because I'd never seen it when I was hearing all of this. Mm. I'm like, oh, I guess I got to finally watch this damn movie. Yeah. This was just like last year.
Oh.
Okay. And I was really disappointed. So maybe it was the shears.
For me, it was the shears that got me.
Because I like that a lot more than the crawling around upside down
it's
thing.
It's all right. It's whatever.
I've never seen Heretic.
Me neither.
I hear it's terrible.
I've started it two or three times, and I just, you got like a 16-year-old Linda Blair, and now she's in some treatment facility.
Yeah.
I just, I can't. Get out of here with that. Lastly, posters are up for Forest Hills, which is a werewolf movie starring Shelley Duvall and Edward Furlong.
Wow.
Evil Dead Shrank. I saw it. you fucker. Shelley Duvall is right there on the poster. Now, this is present day Shelley Duvall. She looks like she just crawled out from a soup kitchen.
Edward Furlong should really realize where he's at in life if Shelley Duvall got the poster.
Yeah. I think he needs to go back to school or something, you know?
Pick up a GED.
You know, get something going. Yeah. I think we can call it a day on the acting there, Eddie Furlong. That's all I got on the horror news, amigo. You ready for some listener mail?
Yep.
Let's get into it.
Listener mail.
Yes, sir. How about we start things off with some emails?
Let's do.
Jason.
You know, maybe Furlong just needs to make a brain scan, too.
I mean, that's really the pinnacle of Edward Furlong, right?
I like that movie.
He comes on really strong with T2. And then after that, what do we have? Pet Sematary 2? and then Brain Scan.
Yeah.
Which at the time, I mean, really, the only reason you're watching it is because that punk rock dude, right?
Trickster,
that was his name. Let's get over to Sydney, Australia there, Jason. Here comes Tim.
G'day, mate.
The dummy for horror. You know him. You love him.
I do.
Subject line, bad weather horror. Hey, boys, how's things this week? Happy New Year to you guys and all the inmates. Hope everyone had a great time and was safe and happy. Darian, you are 47 meters down. Tim, you are correct.
Boy, I don't even.
Huh.
How anybody even pieced together that.
I mean, without.
That butcher.
Without using the number 47. Yeah. And just talking about how hot I am and how pissed off at my fiance I am. It's kind of hard. My top three bad weather horror films are number three, Frozen. Not the Disney film.
Nice.
I'm assuming the one on the ski lift. Not bad. Not a bad show. Number two, Dead Snow.
I was surprised you didn't say Dead Snow.
Why didn't I fucking think of that?
I was certain you would say Dead Snow.
So I didn't even, it didn't even cross my mind. Number one, Misery. That's another good one.
Yeah.
I didn't add The Thing or 30 Days of Night since you guys mentioned them, but they would probably be my one and two. You guys killed it with Superhost. I wanted to rewatch that film after you spoke about it. It was definitely one of my favorites from 2021. That's it for me, guys. Hope you have a great week. XXX.
Oh, oh, oh.
Mwah. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, that chick is batshit crazy.
Which one? Superhost?
It's Superhost.
But still kind of attractive in a weird way. And that I think that's
what... It's those clam digger pants, ain't it?
No, it's... I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's... I don't know. I just look at her and I say, she is going to suck Tuesday right out of my balls. And it's just... I don't know. She's just going to rip my clothes off and
I think there's a clinic to get rid of that, by the way.
Probably, I probably need some therapy is what I probably should do. What else we got here? Back here to Reno, Nevada. Here comes the cowboy. Subject line, Snowmageddon. Evening padded room. Hope everyone is doing well and someone made it in tonight. Totally missed emailing last week with dealing with the snow and ice all day. Gotta love our weather here at times.
Yeah.
Educate, you are 47 meters below. I think it's 47 meters down.
Yep.
So there's that. You're wrong, cowboy. Wrong again! And for three on a meat hook and weather related, I gotta go with number three, Crawl. Number two, The Thing. And my number one, Frozen, especially with all the skiing in the area.
Nice.
I get that. I'm not mad at Frozen. I am mad at Adam Green. I think that's probably the best movie he's ever made. But I don't understand, like, I've never been on a ski lift myself. I would assume that there's some kind of, like, an emergency call button that would buzz somebody or something. Am I thinking about it too much?
Probably. I've only been on one once.
Yeah?
And, well, one visit. Yeah, definitely no call button.
Okay.
No, it's quite prehistoric, as
okay,
in fact.
Perfect. Perfect. Good to know.
It doesn't seem like a very reliable system.
No, no. I don't know. It just seems very silly that somebody would get stuck up there.
No, what seems silly is that I would try to participate in any form of, one, winter activity, two, athletic activity.
I don't know why I even brought this up to you. that was my fault from the get-go.
That was hands down the stupidest thing I've ever dipped my toe into. It was that day I vowed to never leave my house again.
And I will be on the couch henceforth. Don't have much this week. Thanks to still working my ass off. Hope everyone has a great week. Catch you on the flip, cowboy. Right on, cowboy. Thanks for writing in.
Thank you.
We got some voicemails here, Jason. Alrighty, how about we start things off down in beautiful downtown Anderson, Indiana, with our main man, Coop Newcomb.
Darian, Padded Room, what's up?
What's up, my dude?
Jason, the Southern Gentleman Herald, you're there. What's up?
What it do?
Anyway, I wanted to say I got to watch the recommendation you gave me, Bloody Hell.
You like that?
Absolutely loved it.
You like
really,
that shit?
Even better than what I thought it was going to be. But that kill at the end was fantastic, the bone right through the mouth. Anyway, that was badass. I squeezed in two more afterwards. My wife had never seen Stir of Echoes, so I sat her down and we rented it on Prime.
Nice.
Well, rented it, bought it. We actually bought that one.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't seen it probably since it was in the theater, so it's been a long time ago. And, man, that really is a good movie.
It is.
Good acting, good effects for the time, and that's a really good storyline, and, she loved it. She thought it was great.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then, wow, this last one I got in was Demons 2 that Argento, I believe,
Bava.
That did the first one. I'm assuming he did the second one because I think
Lucio
his
Bava.
Other little daughter, the younger daughter, was in this one.
Yeah.
And, man, I was more confused about this one than I was in the first one. There was a... the black pimp that's in the first one turned into a demon.
Smash
now he wasn't sure how he made an appearance as a regular guy again in the second one.
I think.
So how does he come back
the
after
first
having
one as a
been
movie.
A demon anyway?
I could be wrong.
That was confusing. And
you're thinking about
the scene where
that's the problem.
The little girl was trapped inside the car with all the demons around her
in the parking
garage.
Yeah.
Did she survive or not? Or, you know, they don't ever get back to that. The demons are all surrounding the car.
Yeah.
And then they stop their attack and they all take off running and leave her. But never go back to that. So you never have any kind of...
$1
they don't
chicken wing
tie up any loose ends.
It
just kind of leaves you hanging all over. And why did the demons all of a sudden stop attacking and take off running all at once? It doesn't make any sense. And then there was the little boy roaming around trying to survive. And I never saw him get attacked or anything. But like a couple scenes later, he's suddenly a demon.
Sure.
Don't know why.
Nope.
And, that one has a big question mark on why those things happened. I don't know if they had bad editing or what, but, man, first one was a little more entertaining. So.
First one was batshit
crazy. That's all I have, and watching the Colts losing to the wonderful Houston Texans. So.
GP'd. GP'd Cooper. It's okay. He called back. The Jason, there's a thing that some of us gentlemen like to do. It's called watching football.
Oh, there I thought you were going to say gay sex.
Well,
that comes
after the football, yes. Cooper is from Indiana. He hates the Colts. That would be his local team. they are out of the playoffs.
Oh, and yeah, they're the ones with the professional sports guy that throws that object.
He makes a goal unit.
Oh, okay.
Is what it is.
Nice.
He attempts to do so in the skirmish. He called back.
Dude, did I just get GP?
You got GP, baby.
Is that what just happened? You got like a cutoff, huh?
Yeah.
What's
no warning. Just a fucking
what does
ball.
Your buddy Tom Hardy say?
Motherfucking
beat,
baby.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I don't even remember what the fuck I was going on about. So.
Just enjoy
anyway, it. You guys have a good one. See you in the next show.
Take care.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Coop. Let's get down to the funky old South, Mr. Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
The other Southern gentleman, Alan, is in the house.
Padded room, what's
up? What's up, Alan?
Everybody's doing good. It's good to hear Mr. Harrell back.
He's back. He's alive.
What? Anyway, let's see. I got two meat hooks. Oh. 2002 best horror movies.
Okay, go.
Number three, I'm going to go, I mean, there were several I like that I really enjoyed watching. Number three, I'm going to go Scream 5.
Eesh.
Number two, I'm going to go Prey.
Okay.
And number one, Terrifier 2.
I'm going to watch that.
The less said about the shit garbage that was Halloween Ends, the better.
Oh, yeah,
bad weather horror.
What do you
number
think?
Three, I'm going to go with 30 Days a Night.
Good one.
Number two, The Mist. And number one, Dead Snow. That's
Snow.
All I got. Y'all have a good one.
I'm kicking myself.
Barry is really kicking himself in the ass for not
I don't know why I didn't think
Dead
of Dead Snow. Son of a bitch.
I don't think Cooper said Southern gentleman. I think he said Southern genital. So.
You are a as yet to be named genital from
Southern
the
genital.
South. He didn't say which genital. Yes, sir. Speaking of genitals, here comes Mr. Tom Hardy. Hey-yo!
Hey-yo! Padded room, how's my favorite degenerate?
What's good. Up, Tom Hardy?
I hope everyone is doing good. Wanted to get in real quick there.
What do you think?
Wanted to get in on the educating department.
Yeah,
there,
come on.
Darian. I think I got you again.
Let's go.
I think you're 47 meters down.
Attaboy, Tom Hardy.
Our little boy's flick. Going up.
Yep.
Come on, you got to tell me I'm right. Give me three in a row, man.
You nailed it.
This is my year. I can feel it.
I'm feeling you.
Anyway, I also wanted to talk about the meat hook.
Yeah,
I got to say, I think you guys are right. I don't think you can get. I don't think you get any better for three on a meat hook, inclement weather than The Shining, The Thing, and probably Crawl.
Crawl.
I say Crawl maybe, but you know just. Just for sake of argument,
sure.
You know, we also have Return of the Living Dead.
Well,
you know what? Actually, I think I'd
Acid
that
Rain.
Right
I had Acid Rain.
Return of the Living Dead.
Yep.
I fucking love that flip.
Me too.
No, that's great.
Anyway, I haven't been able to catch much. Hope all is well. Love you like family. Bye now.
Love you too, Tom Hardy.
Smoochie boochies.
Right on, man. That was all we had on the listener mail. Mr. Harold. Do you have anything for Tom Hardy, Coop Newcomb, Alan, Tim, or the Cowboy?
Love y'all.
Love you guys. Thank you very much for the meat hooks. I guess let's go ahead and get into this movie here.
Oh, boy, let's.
Oh, I can feel the enthusiasm oozing out of Jason.
I never thought of myself as a wild anything. Wallflower, maybe. I wish I could be more like you.
Charlie girl, that shoe was insane, but I'm finally on a flight. I love you. See you tonight.
Hey, it's me. Happy anniversary, babe. Sorry, I just want to make sure you're on your way. Hello?
Hello? Yo!
So where is the woman that you love right now?
Simone? Babe?
What is the problem?
Mom, what time is it there?
The same time as you.
Where's the time?
At 8:00.
People are fascinated. I love figuring out what makes each one tick. Are you scared? I'm scared too.
No one's going to save you, Charlene.
You are alone, Charlene.
You're a choice.
This is not your house. This is not your life.
Yes, sir. It's Alone With You, Jason Harrell.
Yep.
Or as I like to call it, the Telltale Lesbian. This is a
movie,
and it is 4.9 stars on IMDb. Would you say that's too much or too little?
Well, I can tell you this. I gave it a 3 out of 10,
okay.
And it has done what only 21 other movies have done. It made Jason's absolute
worst
crap movies list on IMDb.
I get it. I get that. But we'll get into that here in a second. 4.9 stars, written and directed by Emily Bennett, starring Emily Bennett, Emma Miles, and the above-mentioned Barbara Crampton. Here, of course, in Barbara Crampton Appreciation Month. You know what I needed more of in this movie?
Barbara Crampton.
Barbara Crampton. What did I not get in this movie?
A good movie?
Barbara Crampton. Or a good movie, really. Excuse me.
We've seen this 625,000 times.
Many, many times.
I just don't even understand why you would regurgitate the same thing over and over and over. Does your ego actually say, oh, well, I'm doing it different. My version is going to be great. Do you really think they think that much of themselves?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because that was one of my bigger observations about the movie, is that we spent a shit ton of time on her face. Just her face. Now, I mean, you've got a story to tell here. You know what I'm saying? How much storytelling can you accomplish when I'm staring at your nostrils? You know what I'm saying? You have a visual spectrum. You can show us the apartment. You can show us that hairless cat. I thought that was kind of cool. there's a way to tell this story. Instead, I'm staring at your earlobes for a good at least hour,
yeah,
probably, of the movie. All right, so we're going to jump right into this thing. We start off with a young lady, Charlene, played by Emily Bennett. She is hanging around outside of her apartment, artist loft kind of a situation in Brooklyn, New York. And we're going to get a lot of jump cuts with a lot of quick flashes. We're horror veterans here, Jason Harrell. We know what that means. That means that there is some instability with this character. Telegraph that a little bit. I mean, like, literally, as the opening credits are rolling, she's already hitting us with these jump cuts.
Yeah.
Okay. I get what you're telling me.
Yeah, right out of the gate.
If you're trying to like play the ending card closer to the vest, you got to dial that back a little bit. From there, we're basically going to spend the next hour and change inside of this young lady's apartment, artist's loft, whatever you want to call it. We start off with her making a phone call to her girlfriend, I guess. And to just further compound the instability, this voicemail that she leaves basically just screams Fatal Attraction to me. Hi, babe. I just was tracking your flight. I know you just landed. Can't wait to see you. Who the fuck does that? Who tracks their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife's flight? Why?
Well, you're talking to a guy that's got toilet cams, so...
Well, yeah, but that's for sexual reasons. I don't think anybody's beating off to a flight.
I can
flight
tell you your bi-hourly poop schedule.
Bi-hourly?
Yeah.
Jesus, I need some high fiber.
A lot of fiber going on.
Yuck.
It's that KY, man. That stuff
tell you,
slides
it just
out.
It just opens you right up is what it does. But that right off the bat says, okay, here's a red flag. Now, from here, we're going to spend sporadic flashes of us trying to paint this young lady, Charlene, as some kind of a... this whole movie felt like a coffee commercial.
Now, Charlene's the girl that's on the flight.
No, that is, what was her name, Rose or something like that?
No. Oh, okay.
Charlie. She went by
Charlie. Oh, Simone.
Simone.
That's what it is.
There you have it. And we're for the first, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, she's going to paint a very rosy picture of these two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, babe, I love you so much. And we get like these slow pans of her taking a bath and having a glass of wine and then getting out and putting something sexy on and writing her a little note that says, you're a wild flower, come to the bedroom, and chopping berries for some reason. I don't know what the point of that was. But it's very Folgers coffee commercial to me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you're not really building any tension here. You're just trying to sell me this romance novel. Okay, fine. Pretty soon thereafter, we're going to get a FaceTime call from another young lady named Thea. Thea, to me, was the high point of this movie. Thea is hammered at a bar, and she's trying to get Charlie to come out with her.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie can't because she's having a special evening with her girlfriend. And we're going to be alone tonight.
It's her anniversary.
It's her anniversary. And she just got back from Philly. And she's on her way home right now. She's just stuck in traffic or something. She keeps trying to call Simone. Simone's not answering, of course. And this is where things are going to get a little bit creepy. We start off with what I thought was supposed to be like some footsteps or creaks and cracks around the apartment. The problem is that they laid it on a little thick with the ambient music. So you don't know if she's hearing what we're hearing or if she's hearing something completely different. So she just like all of a sudden darts up and starts running around her apartment for no apparent reason, as far as I can tell. I don't know, a little creepy. So then she's like, okay, let me call Thea back, calls Thea back. Eventually she gets a text message from her mom. And then her mom Skypes her, I think. And then they
Mom says, give me a call. It's an emergency.
That's what it is. Like a text message, though, yeah. Right? So she gets Mom on Skype. Mom is played by Barbara Crampton. Mom breaks the bad news that her grandmother has passed away. And she would like to... she would like Charlie to send her back a necklace that her grandmother gave her because she wants her to bury her with it.
So... This seemed, it didn't seem like a real life conversation.
No.
Because Barbara Crampton calls her, says, your mom has died. You know that necklace that your now dead grandmother gave you?
Yeah.
Find it. Send it to me. I want to bury your gift from your dead grandmother with her.
With your grandmother, yes.
Like, could you ask?
I mean, well, that's the crux of the conversation. Leading up to that, we get a bunch of lesbian guilt, I felt like, and she didn't want to come out to her mom, so she keeps calling her girlfriend her roommate.
Yeah, Barbara Crampton's a religious lady.
She is.
And she does say, your walls are covered in a bunch of satanic shit.
Satanist stuff.
It kind of looks like You're in my house.
I mean, really, yeah.
It's got skulls laying around.
You know, horror movie stuff. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. But the problem is, and this is where I think Emily Bennett's ego came into play. Mm-hmm. There's one naked picture of her on the wall right behind her.
Right.
As if we haven't already been bombarded with this young lady's nostrils, now we get to look at her ass crack for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Barbara Crampton sees it. She's like, oh my God, is that you? Naked? What is that? And she's like, no, mother, it's art. And yes, Simone took the picture. And then I will find, you know what? Why don't you call me when you don't need something? Blah, 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 blah. And we get a very snippy conversation, and then the Skype kind of starts going in and out.
So she did happen to notice that in the background of Barbara Crampton's video,
it was daytime.
It was daytime.
Yes.
It's nighttime at Charlie's. Charlie?
Yes.
At her apartment. Or she thinks it is.
Yeah.
So she can't see because outside of her windows, it's black. Just black.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, my God, what time is it? She's like, it's 2:15 in the afternoon, you fucker. And then she's like, oh, wait, and then... Barbara Crampton gets all pissed off and ends the Skype conversation. Excellent. Charlie runs to the window. It is pitch black.
But she thinks it's been tarped over.
I guess that's something that happens.
In roach just, motels.
People get flop houses. People just run up with tarps. I don't want you looking out here. Now she goes to try to the front door, and her door is stuck. She can't get out. So she like bangs on it and tries to first she tries calling the super, some guy named Vito. Of course he doesn't answer. I guess it's a regular occurrence that the door gets stuck and they get regularly trapped inside their own apartment. That's something that needs to be addressed.
It seems safe.
I think that's something that I don't know, it seems a bit absurd to me, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. She does a lot of banging on the door and trying to get the neighbors, looks outside her little peephole, and it's like pitch black out there. All she can see is shadows going back and forth across the hallway. So now she's a little bit freaked out. She can't get out. She thinks she may have accidentally time traveled somehow via these dark windows and seemingly nighttime exteriors. Now we continue with the creaks and the groans, and she's freaked out. She can't get a hold of Simone. Pretty soon she's like following these, what I assume are noises, but again, I can't tell you for sure, because they covered it up with a lot of ambient sound effects, into a bedroom where she hears, like through an air vent, a young woman sobbing. Like, I think that, like, was... I don't know anything about New York flop houses or artist lofts or anything, but apparently the walls are an eighth of an inch thick, and you can just air vent right into the next person's apartment if you choose, or they can air vent right into yours. So she's down there. She's like, hey, I'm stuck in my apartment. Get me out of here. And then all she hears is sobbing. And she's like, oh, my God, are you stuck in yours, too? I tried calling the landlord, and sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And then we find that the voice on the other side of the wall starts talking to Charlie. And she's like, oh, your grandmother, you better find that necklace. And she's like, hey, stop listening to me, you piece of shit. Then the FaceTime thing goes off again. And it's Thea. Thea pops up and she's like, hey, bitch. We're drunk. You better come hang out. Ow. And she's like, hey, can you come let me out of my apartment? She's like, no, you come hang out. We're drunk. We're having fun. Thea, to me, was the saving grace of this. Well, there was no saving grace to this movie, but it was one of the high points.
Well, it was the only real departure, other than that blip of Barbara Crampton. It was the only thing outside of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's why we were so grateful for it.
I loved it. Yeah. And at the end... I don't know if that actually was outside of the movie. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Oh, we have questions.
Yeah, I have questions. See, now, as all this is going on, she's going to periodically go into jump cut territory. And what we're going to get is quick flashes of her observing Simone with a guy in the rain, having a very romantic walk in the park, her on a beach.
Little snippet where... Simone was in the shower and...
Well, that was like a full flashback, that one.
Yeah, but I mean, just to kind of piece along with the... She was with a dude in the park.
Yes, and then we get
the
like...
The text messages from
full,
a guy.
Yeah, full flashback where she's creeping on Simone's phone and she's getting text messages from a dude saying, hey, see you tonight, can't wait to see you, stuff like that. So she already thinks that Simone's cheating.
And the whole time, Thea's really pushing... A point that, look, you know, your girlfriend's a ravenous cunt, and nobody likes her.
I don't know if ravenous is the word I'd use.
Because she's a right bitch. How about
she's
that?
She's a saucy lady of the evening.
But she's really trying to tell her that Simone is not a good person.
Right.
She's evil and manipulative and only has her best in her own interest in mind.
Correct. And the whole point of Simone leaving was to go to a photo. She's a photographer, and she was having some kind of an art show in Philadelphia where she was going to feature a lot of her work, which included nudes of Charlie. So there's that. So I kind of get why Charlie would be pissed off. I let you take naked pictures of me. I let you display and sell said naked pictures of me. Now you're off perusing around with some guy, you motherfucker. That's kind of personal. I'd be pissed about that, too.
Sure.
Not that anybody's going to buy naked pictures of this.
Hey, as soon as you get your OnlyFans page up, I'm first day subscriber.
Woo! Well, you get the free pass. And you'll probably get the only free pass. So I get why she might be a little tender about that, because that's like a vulnerability thing. But from there, more creaking and cracking. We realize that she's got a photo studio, kind of a basement lounge thing going on in this place, which just has a bunch of freaky mannequins in it, and with sheets over their heads. Very Silent Hill style. She goes down there because she thinks she hears something very, very scary. Comes back up. Now the lights are going on and off. At one point, she finally is like, okay, I got to get the fuck out of here. Calls 911. And what she gets is a very disinterested young lady on the other end. 911, what's your emergency? Well, I'm stuck in my apartment. Can somebody come get me out? Well, that's not really an emergency. And why don't you just call? Surely you know somebody else in the city. Order some takeout Chinese. When the guy gets there, hey, open the door, will you?
Does the fire escape not work?
She had bars on the windows. And I
don't you think that that's probably to keep people from coming in?
I imagine.
I would imagine or hope that, especially with somebody whose front door constantly gets stuck,
yeah,
at least your fire escape works.
I feel like she was on the first floor. I could be wrong about that. And I'm basing that only on that opening scene where she walks into the building and then makes a quick right into
the
apartment.
Was at like 1R or something, or one, it was a letter. I would assume the letter is the floor.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
One rear. Maybe she's in the rear of the building.
But so you're telling me people on the first floor don't get access to egress?
No. I don't know, man. I don't know anything about New York flophouses, Jason.
Sorry.
I already said that. So she's trapped in there. She freaked out. She called 911. She got a very disinterested lady. She's like, what's your emergency? Come get me out. Okay. We'll get somebody right over. Okay. Bye. And then that's that. Now more creeping around the apartment. Lights are going. Now the lady next door is, getting more loud and like sobbing openly. And Charlie's trying to like console this lady. Oh, sorry. I yelled at you. She gets like a weird echo response. Like the lady next door is like sobbing and wailing, but she's repeating back everything that Charlie says, which is kind of weird. Freaks Charlie out. Hears some footsteps outside the apartment, so she runs to the peephole, starts beating on the door fervently, trying to get their attention. Outside in the hallway, all you can see is like silhouettes.
Yeah.
So she's got power in the apartment. Is that the worst lit hallway ever? It has to be, right?
Flophouse, I guess.
I guess so.
It was a nice apartment. I mean, it looked nice on the inside. It apparently just doesn't have working doors, fire escapes, lighting, stable electricity.
I mean, creature comforts. Really, yeah. Really.
The basics.
You know, I mean, if you want to live in the lap of luxury, sure. I don't know, man.
Now, up to this point, because it's hard for me to tell where you really are in the movie. Because it's very repetitive.
And it's a lot of her kind of pacing around her apartment.
We did have occasional little like shadow people,
yes,
kind of zipping across the hallway in the background.
Seemingly female, right?
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, I know where the movie's going, but yep, I don't know what we're trying to show with the shadow people, because they start before any of the weirdness.
Even begins. By the end, I don't know.
Me neither. Well, I've got a pretty good idea by the end. I guess I just don't care. Is the main thing. I just don't care anymore, Jason.
Okay.
Especially with the was it just me or was Charlie pretty unlikable?
She was horrible.
Was she like a terrible person?
Nah. Well, she was annoying as shit.
I had a problem with her.
She was needy.
I had a problem with Barbara Crampton playing her mother. I feel like she could have played Barbara Crampton's mother, to be honest with you. And I don't mean to say that Emily Bennett is unattractive, but like Barbara Crampton does not look old enough to be Emily Bennett's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong, do you think?
It's on the cusp. I can recognize that Barbara Crampton probably is of the age to be her mom.
Yeah.
But she still looks younger.
Way younger.
Yeah.
And even like in the Skype video, like her affect, you know, blonde hair, smiley,
yep.
You know, she's got this bright background.
Yeah. Homely her up a little bit.
Yeah. But on the other hand, Charlie is like drinking wet red wine and she's got her hair up in this bun and I don't know, mom. You know, it struck me as a real see you next Tuesday. All right, back to the movie.
A ravenous one?
Could be. A very hungry see you next Tuesday. All right, so now here comes Thea again on the Skype. Hey, bitch, guess what? Your girlfriend's not your girlfriend. She just posted pictures. She's in the village having a great time. With a dude. Look at her story. So I guess she goes to Facebook or whatever and looks at her story. And sure as shit, there she is making out with a dude on Facebook. This sends Charlie into some weird head spin where she, like, actually blacks out or something. From there, we get a more drawn-out flashback. This time, we have Simone. Well, we get, like, a twofold flashback. Because we start off with, like, this, again, a Folgers lesbian commercial, which they are spending a lazy day taking naked pictures of each other and telling each other how much they love each other and stuff like that. But then immediately from there, we cut to the flip side, which is Simone telling Charlie to fuck off and this isn't her life, those aren't her friends, get out of her fucking house. And Charlie kind of going into this kind of passive-aggressive head spin, I guess, for lack of a better term. You can't just leave me like this! Kind of a thing, you know? So now, as if we hadn't already figured it out, we know that Charlie is unstable. And the good chance most of this movie is just happening in her head somehow. From there, more with the cat and mouse. She goes. She tries to call Simone again, and this time she hears a cell phone ringing down in the weird, funky, creepy mannequin basement.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh shit, let me run down there. She runs down there. She finds what I have to assume is Simone's phone. But later on, when she's talking to Thea again, she's like, I found some weird phone in my basement. But it's got the cross necklace that her grandmother left her sitting
and
on top of.
And it was ringing, showing that it
Charlie.
Was the call incoming call was from her.
Charlie.
Right.
I don't know. Call it bad writing. But, oh, whatever. That's the least of my problems with this movie. Excuse me. So, very creepy. Now the lights go out, for the camera, she's got like, with this photo studio, she's got like a bunch of random cameras set up. All of a sudden, all the flashes start going off. Freaks Charlie right out, she goes running back upstairs. Again, with the flashbacks and she tries to call 911 again to see what the holdup is, and like all the numbers just kind of bleed off the screen, and she gets basically the same voice from the 911 operator, asking the exact same questions in the exact same order with the exact same lack of affectation. And then her phone just kind of spins out into some psychedelic blur. So now she's really freaked out again. The microwave goes off all of a sudden. Somebody put the cool hairless cat in the microwave. If I am allergic to cats, Jason Harrell,
mm-hmm.
but I get one of those hairless cats,
mm-hmm.
is it still going to fuck me up, you think?
I don't think so.
I would like to
I think it's only the dander
yeah.
that you're allergic to.
Okay.
But you have two
dire
wolves in your fucking living room.
They are not dire
don't
wolves.
Don't bring a cat in here.
I'm not going to bring a cat in here, but I'm thinking like after those two dire wolves die off, which they will eventually, it would be nice to try a cat, but I can't because I've got... cat allergy.
Okay.
But I looked. Those things are like $2,000 a pop. They're called Sphinx cats.
Yeah, but you have to feed those beasts probably $2,000 a month in fucking food.
It's true. It's true.
And not to mention, I'm sure by this point, thousands of dollars different Blu-ray covers.
Remotes. Furniture. Yeah. Fucking asshole dogs. They're very cute.
Still haven't found the other three children you used to have.
Hey, man, you got to cut corners somewhere, all right? So that happens. The cat gets put in the microwave. Very sad. So from there, she wakes up. She hears more shit going on down in the basement or the loft, whatever it is, photo loft. Runs down there. One of the cameras is flashing again. She looks at the viewfinder, which is already up. And she sees basically like a bunch of pictures of Simone, but like with her hands tied behind her back and her feet tied up.
A little bloody,
her screaming.
Little cellophane
things covering her face. She's freaked right out, so she goes running upstairs. Something comes out of like the shadows and starts crawling after her up the stairs. Very scary. She gets up there. She's beating on the door feverishly trying to get out. This thing is crawling up the stairs after her. Eventually, it corners her right there at the door, and it rips the cellophane off its own face. Fuck me if it isn't Charlie herself. There's now two Charlies in the equation.
Because we didn't have enough of her.
Right. First floor, quick right into the apartment. So she was on the first floor.
Are you rewatching this?
No, I just wanted to see this part because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind.
How do you know that's the first floor?
Watch. I'll edit this out. Just calm your ass down. Boom. Walks right in the door. And first right. Here we are. No fire escape.
I guess she did say like one R.
Whatever that means. Whatever.
So first floor.
Right. First on the right. Fucking no. Maybe. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Now we jump into full psychedelic flashback land where we... Okay, so she keeps seeing herself on a beach in front of this dilapidated hotel, I guess. Or some kind... It was like a big building
on the beach. Yeah, like abandoned.
Yeah, I think it was a hotel. I don't know. It seemed kind of small.
It seemed like a hotel or something.
Something. And there's like a big steamer trunk on the beach. And she looks at the trunk, and she looks at the hotel, and then she jumps back to what we have to assume is her beating Simone, right? Because there's a lot of screaming and yelling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she jumps back to her back at the apartment, but now the apartment is completely empty, and she's all put together with a sundress on. And then she walks out of the apartment because the door is open now. But now it walks out onto the beach, and there's the trunk, and she's got her grandmother's necklace. And now there's also a key on the necklace. So she goes up and she puts the key into the trunk, pops the trunk open. It was actually Marcellus Wallace's briefcase.
His briefcase.
She's lucky she got to it before Vincent Vega did, because he would have shot her. You would get that big light effect that we get from Pulp Fiction with the briefcase. We never know what's... Well, we can do the math on what's
bloody
in.
Hair and, I believe, some cellophane draped out of the trunk.
So what we're discovering here, inmates, and this is the big reveal, spoiler alert, she killed Simone, stuck her in the trunk, and then took the trunk to the beach, I believe, where she then committed suicide by slitting her own throat, I believe, Jason.
Okay. So the voice, and that's your movie.
That's what I got. Do you got something else?
A lot of questions.
Me too.
And a lot of angst.
I can BS my way through some of them if you'd like.
So, the voice through the vents. It was a couple of times it said, you aren't even here.
Right.
Okay. She's not there because
she's dead.
Dead.
Right.
Okay. So then, is she in purgatory?
Well, I was going to say, do you think she's a ghost haunting the apartment? Because...
Without the revelation that she
doesn't know
what
she's
done.
Right.
So I have to assume, since these fucking chuckleheads can't just write it, two people wrote this piece of shit and couldn't form a cohesive story.
Whoa.
Like, I actually came away Like, I wanted to actually message these people and tell them to please stop. Pursue other in Jiffy Lube's hiring. Whatever you need to do, just don't do this. Anyway.
Okay.
So she was never talking to her mom then?
Because
she's
so.
Obviously dead.
Right.
Okay, so all of that shit with, hey, why is it bright behind you?
Yeah.
And the, like, you know, the us think the time thing. Slippage.
Yeah.
Clearly that was all horse shit and right. just a figment of her imagination. And I would say that it was manipulative because it made us think something that wasn't an actual thing.
Right.
But I think it was just shit writing.
I agree.
I think they were going down one path with no plan to kind of come back to it.
I would be willing to bet that somehow in the midst of all of this, they just got Barbara Crampton for like an afternoon. And she said, sure, I'll be in your movie. So they had to fucking figure out a way to get Barbara Crampton into this movie, even though it was supposed to be one chick in an apartment and that was it. So somehow we have to shoehorn her in here, and that's the best they
can
do.
Yeah, but they really made a point to kind of, because she's asking Thea, what time is it there?
Yeah.
Is it nighttime?
Yeah.
And Thea responds, what are you, high? Like, so there's all this misdirection to the viewer.
Ambiguity.
That there's something going on with, like, the time.
And that's something I glazed over, which was probably my favorite part of the whole movie, which was the final FaceTime with Thea, where she's acting kind of spacey and she's on a beach for some reason, and then she just slowly backs away into the darkness from her phone, I guess.
So she was never talking to Thea.
Well, that's what Thea...
She never talked to Barbara that's what Crampton.
Thea was saying, as she's backing away, she's like, you're never here, you're never here, and then she just fades away. I don't know, man.
This movie is offensive.
I didn't like the movie. And the main reason I didn't like the movie is because I feel like Emily Bennett thinks that she is a lot more attractive than she actually is.
She apparently thinks she can write better than she can, too.
I would say that she has a Tommy Wiseau complex. Or Wiseau.
I will not have you besmirch.
Oh, no.
The room.
Oh, no.
How dare you?
But, I mean, look at this. We have the movie on right now here in the studio, and we are looking at just probably a good 45 minutes of nothing but Emily Bennett's face. You know?
So, it's kind of like I won't mention names, but
okay.
we did have a mutual friend who took themselves as a bit of an artist.
Okay.
A lot of the artwork was quite lackluster, but in the eyes of the artiste, it's pretty damn good looking.
Sure.
So do you think these two fucking morons that got together and wrote this abomination, when they reread it to make sure it was a nice, cohesive story, do you think they're seeing that through this lens of, like, they read it, and obviously they know what it means.
Right.
Because they wrote it.
Right.
So they just, they're like, oh, shit, this is a nice, tight story here.
Right.
Then they put it to film. I mean, do people not have people read? Even you have me read your shit.
You do, yeah.
We go back and forth with one another.
I have, like, 8 people that I make read all my shit.
Well, apparently these two people only made each other read it.
I think that might be the problem, because I think, you know, like, if I write something that's fucking stupid, I know you'll tell me it's stupid. You'll be like, this, you need to cut this shit out, man. This is dumb. Take this part out. Maybe instead of that, we try this or something like that. You'll tell me. But if these two are up each other's asses, oh, my God, that's so smart. Oh, my God, that makes the most sense. It's so avant-garde or some other horse
because
shit.
Because her and this guy... They co-directed it.
Sure.
They co-wrote it.
Right.
She acted in 99% of it.
Her face did.
So I think they were just really up each other's asses.
Good for them. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, Jason.
Jiffy Lube.
Style over
Get
substance.
Get a different fucking job. Cut it out.
What it is a very long-winded, very Folgers commercial version of a Telltale Heart.
So let's say, oh boy. So let's
and that's
say,
giving it some credits.
Let's say that this actually made a story that made sense.
Okay.
It's still a story.
Sure.
That has been done over and over and over and over again.
But this time with lesbians, Jason. Ooh. The lesbians this time, Jason. I don't know, man. I'm not a fan. I can't. Her face, man. It's just all her face. I can't. That's hard, you know? Boom! It's her face.
It is a whole lot of her face.
It's just her face.
And she's not ugly. She just doesn't deserve that much screen time.
Well, starting off, I didn't think she was ugly. But, like, having to stare at that nose.
At that long?
I don't know, dude. This is not for me. It's very style over substance. I'm going to make you do something right now, Jason.
Oh, boy.
I want you to say something nice about this movie.
It had an ending?
Did it, though? Because it was kind of open-ended.
Well, I saw credits.
Okay, perfect. I think Thea was great, and I think her final FaceTime was probably the best part of the whole movie. That's all I got for you. That is.
Oh, it had Barbara Crampton.
Oh, it did have Barbara Crampton. A very underutilized Barbara Crampton. Other than that, I got nothing. I say skip.
She was 2.9 of my 3 stars.
Good for her. Good for her. Bringing the movie up. If you're thinking about watching this, watch Superhost instead. It's much better. Let's take us a little break, Monsignor.
Let's do.
Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Hey, let's get down to business. Girl, you've been on my wish list. Way more than bad, you vicious. Pussy clean, delicious. Won't doubt it, I know you bout it. All day, girl, she like my outfit. Oh boy, no, can't be around it. When this big business, I hit my accountant. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down, let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. It's been a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Shorty get down, yeah, she don't play up. She don't downgrade, better get your weight up. How I last this long, stay prayed up. Now she cheapin' with a tailor, she wanna blaze up. Paid a 100 mil, I couldn't get my grades up. Upgrade my beats till I never change up. Upgrade my whips and my crib and my key. Let you get down to this business, she did. Dreams we had don't ever fall away. But we can live them if we stay the same. I can't do this for another day. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. It's been a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business.
Hey inmates, if you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the Patreon link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, Jason Harrell.
Yep.
Just like that, big guy. Oh, dude. I mean...
What?
Sometimes I feel like being locked in my own house would be a good thing,
mm-hmm.
But that's something else I didn't understand. She's freaking herself out. Why don't you sit down and relax? Watch some TV.
Watch some TV.
You're too busy pacing around the place. You're freaking everybody else out.
Well, I guess that was supposed to be kind of the main thing that they were implying, is that her obsessive personality.
Yeah, I get it. But still, calm your ass down.
Yeah.
I could probably, if you catch me on my days off, I probably wouldn't even realize I was locked in.
Plus, you like chicks. Get Thea to diddle herself on FaceTime.
She wants you, obviously. Tell her to come over. Too busy fucking around. Putting a cat in a microwave. All right, are you ready to get into this week's meat hook, young man?
I am.
Three on a meat hook.
Are you?
I think so.
I'm sure you are.
This week's meat hook, ladies and gentlemen. Top three horror crushes of all time, Jason Harrell.
Uh-huh.
Let's hear number three.
Descending order. Linda Blair.
Okay. Okay. You're a little bit older than I am.
Yep.
So you probably rode the, Savage Streets? Remember that one?
That was earlier. Now, she aged out pretty quick, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she lost that cuteness that I liked pretty quick.
I get that.
But, like, there was this one movie, an absurd movie, where, like, it's like roller disco kind of shit going down, you know, during that 70s
thing.
Super early 80s. And she still had that, you know, that cute look, that face about her.
Yeah.
And even in The Heretic, you know.
Yeah.
She was like 17, 18 years old, right around there.
Did you ever see Savage Streets?
I don't think so.
That's the one where she is a female gang leader.
Oh, boy.
And Linnea Quigley plays her deaf younger sister that gets raped and murdered by the other gang. So now her and her sisters have to go and kill off all those guys.
Did Linda Blair have a really kind of butchy haircut?
No, she was full teased in that one.
Oh, okay.
She spent a lot of time naked in that movie, though.
Yeah.
So there's that. I get that. I'm down with that. Number three. My number three, you ask?
I do ask.
Serena Vincent.
Who's she?
Good question. That's a good question. You'll remember her as the hottest chick in Cabin Fever.
Oh, okay.
Brunette, very, very solid body.
Yeah.
Like, just bananas. She actually has been in quite a few horror movies. That's probably the best it's going to get as far as horror movies go.
Mm-hmm.
I think now she's on some...
She's the chick railing away with the guy with too much hair. The blonde
guy. She banged all the guys in that movie, except for Officer Winston.
Did she?
Yeah. And then she shaved her legs and her skin was coming off. Yeah.
Which is actually a scene that... to this day, makes me cringe.
Freaks you out? You shave your legs a lot, do you?
Takes me back.
Oh, that's a bad one. God damn the body on that. She was in another movie called Intermedio with the above-mentioned Edward Furlong.
Hey.
But she doesn't get naked in that one, but she does wear like a little underboob shirt,
uh-huh.
And she does a lot of running around. So it's what I call the Alexandra Daddario complex, where you know the boobs are coming out. You think they are. You know, she's unbuttoned. She's running up and down the stairs. You can see the mid area. There's no bra there. But somehow...
damn sticky tape.
They never come out, Jason. she is screaming hot. My number three is Serena Vincent. How about number two, big guy?
Number two. This is going to be none other than Tiffany Valentine, Jennifer Tilly.
Okay, very nice. Horror-wise, you have, of course, the Chucky movies. Another one called, it's not really horror, it's more of a crime suspense thing, but it's called Bound, I believe.
Yeah.
With Gina Gershon.
She gets it solely for the Chucky role.
That's it?
Yeah.
I get
it's
that.
It's the dark dresses.
The goth look.
The goth boobs just like pushed way up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Itching to get out. Right on. My number two. Oh, were you going to say something?
Nope.
Did you have more to add?
I was going to say, what's your number two?
My number two? Michelle Bauer, kicking it old school. you don't know who Michelle Bauer is.
You know I'm horrible with names.
She was one of the original 80s Scream Queens. You'll remember her from Puppet Master 3.
Will I?
Probably not. Sorority Babes and Slimeball Bolarama.
Demon Warp.
I don't know about that one. What was that?
Virgin High.
Texas or Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers. She was an ex-playmate, and she was not afraid to take her shirt off at any given time. Now, thing about Michelle Bauer is she actually had at one point. That's her
IMDb picture.
That's
her with a gag.
Could you have found a least flattering picture?
No, that's her actual.
That's what
IMDb
she
picture.
Chose. Yeah. There are much better pictures of her, but she actually had a. There you go. She did a few actual hardcore porn movies.
Okay.
But the problem is I've researched them extensively.
I'm sure.
And because they were probably like mid-70s, the photo quality is so terrible you can't tell who's doing what.
Yeah.
So, like...
It all just looks like a big muff at that point.
Pretty much. And all the chicks look exactly the same. I forget which one it was, but there was one where she was like part of a female sex cult. And they all look exactly the same. So I can't tell if I'm beating off to her or not. Who am I beating off to here?
Or some dude.
Could be a dude. God damn it, 4K. Where will you catch up with me here? Oh, all right, great. Jason. How about number one?
Number one, Kate Beckinsale as Celine.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I've noticed that you're taking a more classy approach to this as opposed to me. I'm taking more of a vagina lips approach to it. Kate Beckinsale. She actually has a pretty solid horror pedigree herself. Underworlds.
And she gets it just for the Underworlds.
Vacancy.
She got me with the little fangs.
Okay.
The bob haircut.
I like that.
And, of course, all the leather. And dual wielding guns.
That's always
dual wielding guns
that's always
helps.
A hot thing too. There was one where she played a some kind of a mental patient,
like in a psych ward type.
Yeah,
deal.
And then at the end, you find out that all the patients are the doctors.
Yeah,
the doctor is. So yeah, that's what. There's that. My number one, a name you're not going to know, and you're nobody's going to remember except for me.
Really?
Yes. Because
I could have sworn I knew your number one.
Who do you think my number one was?
I thought it was going to be Linnea Quigley.
No. No. Linnea Quigley would have been my number one had it not been for Blu-ray. Because when you see Linnea Quigley...
Oh, you can't do that.
I can. I can, my friend. My penis is not easily confused. When you see her in the full 4K, then you see all the pockmarks and the yellow teeth. And, I mean, there's better versions of Linnea Quigley. I think probably Return of the Living Dead is about as hot as she's going to get.
Yeah, the hair ruins it for me in Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, I think that's hot.
That hair is terrible.
No, I think the Ultimate Warrior lipstick paint from Night of the Demons, that's no good. That kind of does. That, and I can't ever tell if I'm looking at real boobs or not. My number one is going to be a young lady by the name of Dawn Wildsmith, Jason Harrell. Who the hell is Dawn Wildsmith?
Well, I'm looking up as Surf Nazis Must Die.
That was it. Hmm. She was also in Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
She has one picture on IMDb.
Let's see it.
This one.
I don't know what movie that's from. I've never
seen
it.
Actually, it's from in Star Slammer.
Star Slammer. Perfect. I have not seen Star Slammer. Wow. I need to catch up with Star Slammer.
That's crazy. She only has one picture on IMDb.
I don't think she's done any acting in like 20 years.
Okay.
But have you ever seen Surf Nazis Must Die?
Years and years and years ago.
There is a scene in that movie which was a big part of my sexual awakening as a young man.
Yeah.
It is borderline full-on penetration. Because there's like things being put in mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down on a beach.
Yeah.
It's pretty full-on. It's got the soft sex playing behind it. You know, right. Like we had in the 80s every time a girl took her top off.
Yeah.
Oh! Some Evil Dead rise going on over here now.
Plus, you know, surfer Zeke Heiling.
I mean, what else do you need? Really? Oh, Dawn Wildsmith. You get me every time.
Color me surprised. So have you seen that on an upscaled version?
I have. And she wears enough, like, weird 80s war paint in that movie to mask, any.
She looks like Animal from the Barbarians from wrestling.
It's the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
God damn it. Alan is pulling his hair out right now.
That's what it was.
The Barbarians? Who the fuck are the Barbarians? We would like to know what your top three horror crushes are, inmates. Get us at the paddedroom2011 at hotmail.com or on the mental health hotline at area code 775-387-0275. In the meantime, it's time we told you what movies we're looking at this week.
What are you looking at?
No, but there was a weird acting duo called the Barbarian Brothers.
The Barbarian Brothers. Yeah, not that. No, there was a dude named the Barbarian. So you could see the confusion there.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that... Jason, I did not get a single goddamn movie in this week because I've been playing Arkham Knights.
Yeah.
Like a maniac.
How you liking it?
I love it.
Good.
PS5. I got my work cut out for me with that one.
Yeah.
I feel like I could play that probably for a couple of years and not even scratch the surface of all the fucking things.
It needs its own room. That thing is a monster.
I don't want... Oh, you mean the PS5 itself?
The PS5 itself.
Yeah, you could drive it to work.
Yeah. Use it as a coffee table.
It's a great big item is what it is, inmates. If anybody else out there has a PS5 or a PS4 for that matter, padded room guy, shoot me a friend request. We can play Arkham Knights. Or Fall Guy. You've ever seen this Fall Guys game?
I watched you horribly playing it the other day.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
I can only play it once every couple weeks. It's all my blood pressure can handle. God damn, is that game.
That's the way Overcooked is. Very fun game.
Yeah.
Really frustrating.
Yeah.
And you can also play it co-op with somebody right beside you.
Uh-huh.
And it's the quickest way to a divorce. Or at least a good fist fight.
Oh, she'll kick my ass. I'm not doing that.
I did get to see, let's see here. Today I checked out Speak No Evil.
Okay.
I rewatched The Cabin in the Woods.
Which one? When you say Cabin in the Woods, for some reason I immediately jumped to Cabin Fever.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, Cabin in the Woods.
Well, it's funny because earlier when you said Cabin Fever, I went to Cabin in the Woods.
Very cool.
And rewatched Sex and the City with my wife.
Okay. There's like four of those now, isn't there?
I don't know.
I think there's two movies. So you just watched one of the movies?
I figured your go-to response would be, well, that is horror.
I mean, that horse creature they have.
Oh, she's going to cut you for that one.
Oh, I kid. There was a time where I thought Sarah Jessica Parker was hot.
Mm.
That time has come and gone.
Red Dawn.
She in Red Dawn?
Ain't that Sarah Jessica Parker?
I have no... I remember Jennifer...
Footloose.
Was she in Footloose?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a huge Sarah Jessica Parker guy. Hocus Pocus. I know that.
I'm pretty damn sure.
That's about it. That's all.
Yeah,
I got.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Footloose.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
And then I got to look at Red Dawn now. I'm pretty damn sure.
God, she would have been like 12 in that one.
Right? I'm not sure. No, that was Jennifer Grey.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yep.
I was pretty hot for Jennifer Grey back in the day.
Really?
I never made it all the way through Dirty Dancing, but I thought she was hot in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's a weird horror movie that she was in that was supposed to be a Tales from the Crypt movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called The Relic or something like that. Not the one with Tom Sizemore and Penelope Ann Miller.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I'm going off on a rant here.
That's all I got to see.
Right on, man.
And Sarah did want me to mention that as far as her three on a meat hook,
oh, yeah,
it all comes down to tits.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm the same way.
I can't remember who she said and in what order.
A hierarchy of tits.
But it was a hierarchy of boob size.
I get that. I'm the same
She's
way.
A boob girl.
Me too. I'm a boob girl too. I love me some boobs. How about some immersion therapy, you boob?
Immersion therapy.
I liked old people up until the last 5 minutes, I think. You got to ride a suspension of disbelief on that one, like, pretty hard, because, like, the old, the senior citizens doing, like, weird kick flips and parkour moves through, no, that, and, like, when they're beating down the door,
yeah,
you know it would be, like, one girlish shove to the door, and then, oh, my hip, kind of a thing. These ones were savages, though.
I watched it very passively. I was watching it around the same time I was texting you and the basement fellows about my magical penis.
All right. So, so well, you do that three times a week, so.
Yeah, we're combining dick jokes with D&D TNT jokes.
That is the kind of banter that
was,
we do.
It was okay. Okay, I gave it a 5. A better version of that is VFW.
Yeah, or Night of the Living Dead, or any number of different Siege movies.
Yeah.
That the thing that really...
But if I want to see old people, like, kick some ass, VFW is going to be my go-to.
Well, yeah, those old people look like they could kick some ass. Yeah. These ones look like they need their diapers changed.
Yeah, they can't even... They got to wheel around.
I think it would have been better that way, you know, if they all just came lumbering up slow, zombie-like, instead of doing fucking Mortal Kombat moves on people. But the last 5 minutes, when she starts singing and all of a sudden...
That was awful.
That killed it for me. That just ruined the entire fucking movie.
That's like a lot of movies where you see, you know, it's kind of coming to a head and all of a sudden you're like, I love you. And then love triumphs the evil.
Yeah.
This was a lyrical version of that.
Yeah. A lyrical Polish version.
Yeah.
I love it. No, it's okay. I'm not going to rush out to buy it on Blu-ray or anything, but, you know, if there's nothing else on, I might pop it in there. What do you think, big guy?
I say give it a pass.
I could see that, too.
Especially since it's, you know, it was a foreign flick. If it was in English, at least I might could have, like, got into it a little bit better.
Do you think we missed anything with the dubbing?
I don't think so.
I
was reading it at the same time.
I feel like sometimes they just kind of, it's like catch as catch can with the voice actors.
Yeah.
Because you can tell, like, sometimes there'll be a 30-year-old woman doing the voice for, like, for the big biker guy. Hey,
usually I always forego the spoken English dub, and I will just do original audio and read it.
Yeah.
But this time, since I was, you know, making dick and fart jokes via text, I needed to hear it. So I actually thought the voice acting was pretty good.
I get that. Right on. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Speak No Evil from 2022. This one stars Martin Burrow and Sidsel Koch, directed by Christian Taftrup. You can find this bad guy streaming on Shudder. Check that shit out, inmates, and we will do the same and compare notes next week. But now, you must educate me.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. I am a hot young female that just got shat on by her fiancé, so I'm taking my would-be honeymoon with my best friend instead, and we're going south of the border to Mexico, and we're going to have some fun and drink some margaritas, and I'm going to drunk dial his ass and tell him what a cocksucker he is, and then I'm going to go on a boat for some shark viewing and go 47 meters below to swim in a shark cage. Until that fucking guideline breaks, and then I'm plummeting to the depths. 47 meters below, man. That was an easy one. How do you give clues?
That was 47 meters down.
Below, down, doesn't matter.
Well, you corrected
somebody
earlier.
47 meters down, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's down. Either way, that's the movie. You knew it. It's fine. I think there's a sequel to that one, isn't there?
Another 47 meters.
47 more meters.
Right.
We went to a deeper part. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, I am a recently passed high school student. Very tragic accident. I died while I was at a reservoir. After I died, my parents started finding things out about me. First, they thought I was like a ghost and I was haunting the house. Turns out my little brother was faking it. After that, there was like a weird sex triangle with my swinger neighbors. And then after that, my mom just decided to like start having dreams about me and consulting a psychic. Who might I be, you ask? Tune in next week and I will drop some knowledge right on your face. In the meantime, I think that's about it for us, huh, Jace?
Except for one question.
Shoot.
Is Barbarian an anthology movie?
I'm going to say no.
Because you, yourself, said it's basically three. This is almost verbatim.
No, I know what
this
I said.
This is three stories in one.
I know what
so
I said.
So that means you have three stories and a full wraparound.
Right. But those three stories put together create one story.
Yeah, that's called the wraparound.
That's called a timeline. Motherfucker. Quit trying to use my logic against me. And if, I don't know, man. I mean, that's kind of like that weird Pulp Fiction gray area.
Right.
You know, where it's like, it kind of is, but at the same time, it's all one cohesive plot line. You just have to figure out where everything fits. So I guess it could be an anthology.
I just thought I'd throw that to you.
You just thought you'd fuck with me at the end of the show. I know what you're doing, you asshole. All right, inmates, that's going to do it for us. Thank you very much again for tuning in. I hear rumors that Buddy might actually be joining us next week. Of course, he says that every week.
He does.
So I don't know. Don't get your hopes up, inmates.
He's always here in spirit.
Absolutely. And there's also beard hairs all over the place. So his DNA is technically here. Like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this show. That helps our visibility quite a bit. Don't forget to smash that like button and ring that bell. We do have a Patreon campaign running if anybody gives a shit. Support.paddedroompodcast.com.
It's a lot of letters.
It is. It's very wordy. But that's where you want to go for the Patreon. $5 donation gets you a travel mug, a t-shirt, and control of the month of February if you are interested. In the meantime, for Buddy in Absentia, crazy bitches in apartments, murder suicides on the beach, FaceTime that gets all wacky when you need it the most, and killer clowns from outer space, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye, guys!